If you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll start reading in verses 1 and we'll go through 12. For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now these things happened as examples for us, so that we would not crave the evil things as they also craved. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they stood up to play. Nor let us act immorally, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, and were written for our instruction, upon whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. At the University Church, we've been studying through the book of Numbers. And as we've been studying through the book of Numbers, there's a bunch of things that stand out to me that correlate the Israelites in that time with our Christian walk. One of them being that they are freed from slavery by the baptism of Moses through the Red Sea. And we too are freed from the yoke of slavery by baptism in Jesus Christ. And you can see that in Galatians 5:1 and the entire chapter of Romans 6. They were also given a certain amount of time where they were tested in the wilderness before they could enter the promised land. And we too have been given a certain amount of time here where we are tested, where we will see if we will enter the promised land. And you can see that in Luke 12, 19 through 21, and 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11 through 13. But there are three main points that I want to bring out to you today. The first of which is how faith gets you to the promised land. God reminded the people of Israel of the promised land, of the promise that he gave, the land promise he gave, and gave them a warning in Exodus 3, chapter 33, verses 1 through 3. And then the Lord spoke to Moses, "Depart and go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought up from the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, 'To your descendants I will give it. I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzites, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, because you are an obstinate people, and I might destroy you on the way.'" And later in the book of Numbers, when they're about to enter the land, they sent out men to view the land in chapters 13 and 14. And here is the report of those men. "And thus they told him and said, 'We went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Amalek is living in the land of the Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites are living in the hill country. And the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan.' Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it.' But the men who had gone up with them said, 'We are not able to go up against these people, for they are too strong for us.' And then the people started grumbling, and Josh and Caleb pleaded with them in Numbers 14, 1 through 10. Then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried out, and the people wept that night. And the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, 'Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword with our wives and our little ones? Will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces in the presence of the assembly of the congregations of the sons of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, of those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, the land we pass through to spy out is exceedingly good, and if the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are our prey, for their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. But the congregation said to stone them with stones. And then we see that God's anger burns against the people, and Moses pleads with God that he not destroy the people of Israel. And God relents, and he only destroys those who have seen his glory and still rebelled, in Numbers 14, 22 through 23 and 34. Surely all the men who have seen my glory and the signs which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times, and have not listened to my voice, shall no by no means see the land that I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of these who spurned me see it. You will suffer for your sins and know what it is like to have me against you. It must be fearful for them to have God against them. They saw physically the mountains trembling before them. And it's the same for us. If we disobey and we lack faith, we will also fail to enter the promised land. Let's read Hebrews 12, 18 through 25 and 28 through 29. It says, you have not come to a mountain that can be touched, that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and a storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded, that even if an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. But you have come to the Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkling of blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? They were in fear and trembling of the physical God that they could see, the trembling, but we have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. We must have faith in that God that we can enter the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom that cannot be shaken. Those who are protected by faith have an inheritance in heaven. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for its salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We, as we are traveling through our wilderness, are protected by our faith in God to enter the promised land. But we know that there are few who will enter this kingdom. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14 says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate that and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. We need to have that faith as we travel through our wilderness to enter into that promised land. But we need to look to God. In the book of Numbers, at the very beginning, they were told how they were to camp. In Numbers chapter 2, verses 2. It says, "The people of Israel shall camp, each by his own standard, with the banners of their father's house. They shall camp, facing the tent of meeting on every side." They were commanded really early on that they were to camp, each by their standard, facing the temple of God. And even though that they were facing the temple of God, and every time that they camped and in everything that they did, physically they were looking at the temple of God, but their hearts were not looking. The people looked to other nations and other people. In Numbers chapter 13, 32 through 33 says, "The people of Israel camped." Whoops. "So they brought the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone out to spy is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people that saw in it are of great height.' And they saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come from the Nephilim. And we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them." They looked to their past in Numbers 11, 4 through 5, and Numbers 14, 2. "Now the rabble that was among them had a strong craving, and the people of Israel wept again and shouted, 'Oh, that we had meat to eat. We remember the fish that we ate in Egypt that cost nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic.' And the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, 'Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or that we had died in this wilderness.'" There's a lot more times, but these two examples, they looked back towards their past rather than looking to God to provide for them. And they also looked for somebody else to blame. And Numbers 16, chapter 16, verse 41 says, "But on the next day, all the congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, saying, 'You have killed the people of God.'" So rather than looking at themselves to blame or looking to God to be their provider, they blamed other people and they looked to the outside. But we know that we should have God as our center. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, and John 3, 14 through 16 says, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." We should look to him. We should seek first his kingdom. We should look to Christ for our salvation. And we know that Jesus is the way and our salvation. In John 14, 3 through 6, it says, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be there also. And you know the way where I am going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me." And if we know the way to our salvation, we shouldn't look back. As it says in Luke chapter 9, 59 through 62. And he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, permit me first to go bury my father." And he said to him, "Allow the dead to bury their dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God." Another also said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to go say goodbye to those at home." But Jesus said to him, "No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." We should look to God and not look back at the past or at other things. We should look to things above, as it says in Colossians 3. And honestly, all of Colossians 3 is a good text for how we should look to God. But especially verse 2 and verse 17 says, set your mind on things above, not on the things that are of the earth. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. We should look to God as our salvation. We should look to him as the only way that we'll get to our promised land. And we should do things in a pleasing manner. There are very few examples of the people of Israel doing the will of God the right way. I'll throw a couple examples up here. They counted the people correctly, as it says in Numbers 1:54. And then it says, thus the sons of Israel did according to all which the Lord commanded Moses, and so they did. They were told to set the unclean outside the camp, and so the sons of Israel did, and they set them outside the camp, just as the Lord spoke to Moses. And thus the sons of Israel did. They camped where God said camp, and they set out when God said set out. As it says in Numbers chapter 9:23, and at the commandment of the Lord they camped, and at the commandment of the Lord they set out. They kept the Lord's charge according to the commandment of the Lord. And as soon as they set out from Mount Sinai, they started to complain. Numbers chapter 10, verses 33 and 34, and Numbers 11:1. It says, thus they set out from the mount of the Lord, 3 days' journey, with the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord journeying in front of them for 3 days to seek out a resting place for them. The cloud of the Lord was over them by day, and when they set out from the camp. Now the people became like those who complain of adversity in the hearing of the Lord. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outside of the camp. Because I have it up here, and maybe you're not looking in the text itself, maybe you don't see that verses 33 and 34 are right at the end of chapter 10. And verse 1, like, there's very little transition. So they did the word of the Lord, they obeyed, then they instantly started complaining. And it's kind of the same thing with us. The people of Israel, they do the checkmarkable things. They camp the way that God said to camp. They numbered the people the way God said to number the people. They went where God said to go. But they complained the whole time. Their heart was not in the right place. And it can be said the same of us too. We go to church because it's commanded in Hebrews chapter 10:25, not abandoning our own meeting together as is a habit of some people, but encourage one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. We sing because we're commanded to. In Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. We pray, as it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We partake of the Lord's Supper, as commanded in Luke 22:19 through 20. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is broken, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup after he had eaten, saying, this is the cup that is poured out for you, the new covenant in my blood. But we also complain like the Israelites. We complain about going to church because we're too tired, or it's too far, or it's awkward, or the game is on. Instead of seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We complain about the singing because it's pitched too low or too high, or it's too fast or too slow, or the guy behind me sings kind of funny. Instead of singing with your heart, as it says in Ephesians chapter 5:19 through 20, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for the things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. We complain about the prayers because they're too long or oddly worded or too repetitive. But we know He hears the prayers of the righteous. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And we complain about the Lord's Supper because we're unfocused, or it's too long, or the bread tastes odd, or we don't like grape juice. But we know that we should partake in a way that's pleasing to the Lord, as it says in 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 29. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment unto themselves. So we as Christians need to not be like the people of Israel who do all those checkmarkable things to try to please the Lord. We need to give them our whole heart and to worship Him with all of our heart and our soul and our mind. We need to be numbered with those who are entering the promised land. There are roughly 7.7 billion people in the world and 2.4 billion Christians, 1.1 million Church of Christ members, and not all of them will enter heaven. Be Joshua and Caleb. They're the only two out of 603,550 fighting men to enter the promised land. You can see that in Numbers chapter 26, 51, and 63 through 65 if you want to, but that's what it says. At the beginning, we read through 1 Corinthians 1, and it said, with most of them who wandered the wilderness, God was not pleased. And with most of them, it means 603,548. It's only two that made it. So be those two. Have faith in Jesus as the only way to salvation. Look to God and not to distractions. And worship with all of your heart. There are many times throughout the book of Numbers that Moses pleaded with the people of Israel that they turn. And if your heart is not right, I'll plead with you too. Turn. Turn unless you perish in the wilderness also. Because I care for you. If you need the prayers, come forward as we sing the invitation song.